Women's soccer starts off conference play on Thursday night against East Carolina. So, of course, on tomorrow's Bulls Beat, we'll have a full preview of that show. Remember, we end the hour on Wednesdays and Fridays with a mini version of the conference show, anywhere from 3 to 7 minutes. This will be right in the middle somewhere. So we'll tell you who else is starting off their conference schedule against each other tomorrow night in that portion of the hour here. But men's soccer, and again, the Bulls are 2-2-1, lost to the number 2 team in the country, Clemson Tigers, and lost to a very strong NC Wilmington team in overtime, 1-0. Should mention the Seahawks have since dropped a couple of matches. They got into a Colonial Conference play and lost to Drexel on Saturday. Then last night played a very strong Charlotte team and lost 3-1. So someone solved them defensively. But the Bulls offense, for its own part, got going on Friday night, scoring 3 against Stetson. And a kid who scored a couple of them, we'll get to him in just a minute, along with one of his teammates who has been great as a junior college transfer. But we'll start off with the head coach. This is from after what I thought was a pretty intense-looking practice on Tuesday morning. With Bob Uthorn after what felt like for a little bit a game, considering there was no game today, was that the typical intensity of a scrimmage, or was it maybe on purpose ramped up a little today?
No, I think that that's typical. Whenever you kind of put the first team against the second team, it gets a little bit of a bite to it. So I liked it. I think I applaud that there's not a big difference in level between those two. So I like the two groups, and they know it's competitive, and I think it keeps everybody honest in their game.
One guy that keeps your players honest, his teammates honest, and we've talked about this during the course of the broadcast, but you don't always hear it from up in the booth. You hear it down here on the field is Donnie Hesselmeyer. He doesn't suffer any misplays. Talk about his importance to the team.
Yeah, and he's learning his role as kind of the vocal leader, but also just the kind of the combative industrial midfielder that we need him to be. And he's done very well, and he's learning how, you know, his words can carry a lot of weight or they can pull apart. So he's learning that, but I'm thankful he's here at such a young age grabbing that leadership role.
One thing that you guys had to deal with, along with everybody, I know the women especially, is injuries and all sorts of situations, but you just mentioned the depth. So has it been a blessing for you to be able to have the depth, or has it been kind of difficult and trickier this year to piece it all together?
Well, I think I got a little of both. It really has been a good, you know, nice thing to have the depth, but also the decision-making that goes into that. And we always say that players make the decision. And this year I think it's been, you know, fractions off of each guy that can play. They're all relatively young, which is another interesting kind of component to the decision. So in general, I like that the depth is there, but my decisions are, and my job is based on making those decisions. So
look at a guy like Vic. I mean, you would just assume he'd be in the starting lineup, but you got Oscar, you got Shagun, who's hurt now, and now Andres pops in there. So again, kind of a not set in stone situation, or would you kind of like it to be more set?
Well, I think that Oscar's kind of separated himself, and I think Andreas is, you know, obviously after his brace has done very, very well and bringing him along, and I think Vic sees that picture. And but we have Segun is off of the injured, you know, kind of injury list right now. But in general, I think they all get it, and then we can't play everybody. So it's something that they all have to understand as they move forward in the levels they play. But it's a luxury that we have right now, and none of them take it for granted, thankfully.
You guys have had some competitive games, obviously, but now do you feel a little bit more intensity is needed to be injected going, not that you've not been intense, but even more so for Tulsa this week, because that's a team right now.
Yeah, they're playing very well, and they're feeling good about themselves. They're an older group. And for us, we seems to be the every game appearances. We're always the younger team by a lot. So, I like the way we look at it, you know, that game, and I like that we get the preparation time to get after this game, and I think that's what the rhythm of the conference schedule does. So for me right now, I'm excited. We've got days to train. We've got days to prepare. We've got ideas of tactics, and it's exciting, and I think the guys will – the unfortunate thing it is it's a 12 o'clock game. We wish it was a night game, but it is what it is.
I'll be there and sweating it out, but looking forward to it. Thanks, Bob.
Absolutely.
All right, I've been trying to get this guy's last name. I knew I'd be saying it a little bit this year. Andres Freire. Was that pretty close?
Yeah, that was pretty close. Okay. That was actually pretty good.
Thank you so much. You know what else is pretty good? I actually kind of foreshadowed it on the broadcast because I saw, you know, your work in the exhibition games, knew that you like to have goes from distance, but has that always been part of your game? I know you didn't just show up here and they taught you how to do that.
No, yeah, I mean, it's something that I've definitely had in my pocket for a while. I mean, I tend to score from closer areas because I'm a 9, so I try to stay in the box and the surroundings, but every once in a while, I got to take a shot from outside and try the keeper on, you know?
Over to Scargle. Oh, good low ball. Great idea to Freire, and he's right there with it. As Soga to his left, there's that long shot I was telling you about, and he scores! Boy, I said if he gets a turn, from anywhere in that 20 to 25 yard range, he is going to have a go, and he did. That was magnificent. Fred A. for USF with his account opener and a stunning goal.
Had you any notion on that one? Because even that one seemed like it wasn't the right position at first. You kind of had to create it a little bit.
Yeah, no, I mean, I just kind of turned around, saw the keeper out, and I was a little fallen, but, I mean, I still went over him, and that's what I was looking for, to get the goal.
You had missed a couple just barely in the exhibitions, just a little bit over. Do you work on that? Do you sort of have the same approach every time, or are you thinking, okay, I got to hit it a perfect way to get it where I need it to go?
If I'm being honest, I think it's more of a matter of confidence. I think I'm young, and I got to this team not long ago, and I was kind of nervous, if you'd say it. But I just had to get one out of the way, and I think from now on it's going to be better.
I was going to get to that because this is a team of a lot of returners, even though it's a younger team in general. And you look like when you play out there, you kind of have a, you know, take control kind of personality. Have you sort of had to ease your way into it, or do you feel comfortable now?
Yeah, I definitely. The guys have made it a lot easier for me. Like as the season has gone on, I think I've adapted pretty well, and I mean, it's been a lot easier lately than it was at the beginning, but, you know, just trying to get in it.
I want to ask you a little bit about the Chargers and your upbringing, but the other goal was pretty good, too. The service, though, as the guy who served is about 5 feet away. Speak about that goal.
Gabby Privitea, I mean, he probably the best player on our team, one of the best players I've ever seen playing in my life, and he just reminds me of Leo Messi. So the guy, we're lucky to have him.
So if he was 10 feet away, he probably wouldn't have said the messy thing, but that's pretty good.
I know you played for the Chargers. Where did you actually go to high school in Sarasota? What was your soccer kind of upbringing?
I went to Riverview High School in Sarasota. I moved to the States my freshman year of high school.
From?
Venezuela.
Very nice.
Just like Gabby.
Wow, no wonder, the love.
We got a link going on, but yeah, I moved to Sarasota, went to Riverview High School, played for them my freshman year. And then started playing academy soccer my sophomore year of high school.
And it seems like you're not the only guy that played for the Chargers on the team, right? You got a little familiarity there.
Yeah, we got about five guys, counting Alex, Nick Scargill. We got JT, and we got Checho. So I played last year with Alex. I had the pleasure to play with JT and Checho. Scargill I didn't, but I trained with him for a while. But I think we got a good connection going on, and it's definitely good for the club and see how far we've come as an academy.
And then last thing, you know, just watching you guys here at practice, because you don't have a game today, it kind of had that feeling of a game, at least from a competition standpoint. These practices aren't always just walking around lollygagging, is it?
Well, no, it's a very professional environment. If you think about it, in a professional environment, everyone's trying to win their spot. And, I mean, that's what's going on here. Everyone's competing for a spot. No one has a guaranteed spot on the team. And I think anyone could start any game at any point.
I can tell that you even realize that just because you scored two goals, you still have work to do, right?
Yeah, no. Matter of fact, I don't even know if I will start next game, but I don't mind that. I like the competition. It keeps me going, and that's what we are out here for every single day.
Awesome. Great job. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
And then we'll just step right over to the Leo Messi of the USF Bulls. Okay. Has he called you that before, or was that just to butter you up?
No. I mean, always watching videos of Leo Messi, and I try to imitate him. So, like, all of my teammates, like, kind of tell me that, like, I'm kind of like the same style of Leo Messi. So, well, that's a huge compliment.
Yeah, right. So what happens when Venezuela plays Argentina? What do you do there?
Oh, yeah, well, I try to support Venezuela. But, well, you know, we're not the strongest team. But still, my heart's there, so I love to watch my team play, but still I love how Leo Messi plays as my idol, and I try to imitate him every time.
He's my favorite, well, second favorite to Gareth Bale. I'm a Gareth Bale guy, how it goes. Okay. Before we get more into your play, tell me a little bit about Barton, and I ask because I have no idea what, anything about it other than your stats.
Well, so Barton Community College is a junior college in Kansas, Great Bend, small town. I got the opportunity to go there. It was such a blessing for me. I got my two coaches, Jordan and Tyler, right out. They taught me a lot of things. I improved as a player a lot. They helped me maybe achieving my dreams outside of the field too. I played for 2 years there. I also built a nonprofit organization. I got a good grades, good GPA. I mean, everything was good there.
I want to hear more about the nonprofit. What was that all about?
My former team in Venezuela is having a, well, not only my former team, but all the teams in Venezuela are having tough times to you know, train in a good environment because of the situation. They don't have, like, balls, cleats. So I tried to talk to my coach, and he told me we can help my people out there. So I got connections in Venezuela. My coaching is there, so we're working on it. We're providing resources to kids in Venezuela to so they can play and keep playing the sport and keep dreaming like me.
We'll continue to tell that story down the line so we can help out if we can. Okay, so Leo, obviously a guy that specializes in free kicks amongst other things, but it seems like you've been practicing those.
I just have a feeling you're going to see a good shot here. Here it comes. He's going to go low with it, and it's going to get through for a goal. Absolutely. A Bulls player was there to run some interference, but that is a straight goal for Privatera. He kind of leaned one way and then rocketed it with the outstep of his foot to the right.
26, Gabriel Privatera.
And Gabby Goal lives up to his name for the Bulls. 3-0.
Tell people how much you work on that.
Well, every time I can, I've been working on it since I was in Barton. Every time after practice, I stay maybe like a little 15 minutes, 20 minutes working on it from both sides. And I really love to, I think I'm better at free kicks than the ball was when it's moving. And obviously I'm imitating like the technique that Leo Messi has because he's the best at it. So that's what I try to do.
Awesome. Well, your corners are pretty good as well. And then last thing, did you have the nickname Gabby Goal before you got here, or did somebody on this team give that to you?
Oh, it's coming from Barton, actually. Okay. Yeah, but I didn't tell anyone here. They just called me like that, so I don't know how.
Stick with it, trust me. Thank you very much, Gabby.
Yeah, thank you so much for this opportunity. Thank you, sir.
Outstanding young man there, and enjoy talking to those guys. Going to do the same today with volleyball. You'll hear those conversations tomorrow morning on Bulls Beat, along with a preview, of course, of the Women's Soccer Conference Opener. That's it for the Wednesday show, though. Thanks for listening. I'm Derek Sharp.